standing directly opposite to those they still ran along the road, hindered them from joining those that had declined out of it. They intercepted Titus also with a few others. Now it was here, impossible for him to go forward, because all the places and trenches dug in them, from the wall to the preserve, the gardens round about were full of gardens obliquely situated and of many hedges. And to return back to his own men, he saw it was also impossible. But reasons of the multitude of the enemies that lay between them, many of whom did not as much know that the king was in any danger, but supposed that he was still among them. So he, Titus, perceived that his preservation must be wholly owing to his own courage, and turned his horse about and cried out aloud to those who were about him to follow him, and ran with violence into the midst of the enemies in order to force his way through them to his own men. And hence we may principally learn that both the success of war and the dangers that kings are in are under the providence of God. That is Josephus. For while such a number of darts were thrown at Titus when he had neither his headpiece on nor his breastplate, for as I told you, he went out to, not to fight, but to view the city, none of them touched his body, but went aside without hurting him, as if all them missed him on purpose, and only made a noise as they passed him by. So he diverted those perpetually with his sword that came on his side, overturned many of those that directly met him, and made his horse ride over those that were overthrown. The enemy indeed made a great shout at the boldness of Caesar, and exhorted one another to rush upon him. Yet did these against whom he marched fly away and go off from him in great numbers, while those that were in the same danger with him kept up close to him, while they were wounded both on their backs and on their sides, for they had each of them put this one hope of escaping if they would assist Titus. But Titus escaped with the rest and came safe to the camp. In other words, what he's saying so far, when he was surrounded, when he rushed, it says the sky was full of arrows. As if by God's providence they all missed. God was going to have his man take Jerusalem. Then we see, this is not the only time he expressed Titus' courage. We're told he says, the Jews assailed out of the city, the Romans were at length brought into the confusion and put to flight and ran away from their camp. Nay, things looked as though the entire legion would have been in danger unless Titus had been informed of the case that they were in and had sent them successors immediately. So he reproached them for their cowardice and brought those back that were running away and fell himself upon the Jews on their flank with those select troops that were with him, and slew a considerable number and wounded more of them, and put them all to flight and made them run away hastily down to the valley. If I may be allowed neither to add anything out of flattery nor to diminish anything out of envy, but to speak the plain truth, Caesar did twice deliver the entire legion, which it was in, when it was in jeopardy, and gave them opportunity to fortify the camp. He just charges out and takes them on himself and then rallies the Romans. They were about to be defeated. Well, what about the suffering that goes on in Jerusalem? Now, at this time, we're going to see that the siege has started. Any hope of escaping Jerusalem is now cut off. To compound the problem that you got the Roman legions out there shutting it off, we're told that there was revolts going on inside the city. Of course, famine was going on inside the city by now. Let's describe some of the suffering that was going on inside Jerusalem. So all hope of escaping was now cut off from the Jews, together with their liberty of going out of the city. Then did the famine widen its progress and devoured the people by whole houses and families. The upper rooms were full of women and children that were dying by famine, and the lanes of the city were full of the dead bodies of the aged. The children also and the young men wandered about the marketplaces like shadows, all swelled with famine, and fell down dead wheresoever their misery seized them. As for burying them, those that were sick themselves were not able to do it. And those that were hardy were well deterred from doing it by great multitude of of those dead bodies. And by uncertainty, there was now soon, they would soon die themselves. For many died as they were burying others, and many went to their coffins before the fatal hour was come. Nor was there any lamentation made under these calamities, nor were heard any mournful complaints, but the famine confounded all natural passions. For there, those were there just going to die, looked upon those that were going to their rest before the dry eyes and open mouths. A deep silence also, and a kind of deadly night had seized upon the city. While yet the robbers were still more terrible than the miseries were themselves. For they broke upon the houses which no other graves of dead bodies and plundered them of what they had, and carried off the coverings of their bodies, went out laughing and tried the points of their swords on their dead bodies in order to prove what metal they were made of. They thrust some of those through that still lay alive upon the ground. But for those that entreated them to lend them their right hand and their sword to dispatch them, they were too proud to grant their request and left them there to be consumed by the famine. Nor everyone of those died with their eyes fixed upon the temple and left the seditious alive behind them. Now the seditious at first gave orders that the dead should be buried out of the public treasury, and not enduring the stench of their dead bodies. But afterwards they could not do it. They had them cast down from the walls into the valleys beneath. However, when Titus, in going his rounds around those valleys, saw them full of dead bodies and the thick putrefaction running about them, he gave a groan and spread out his hands to the heavens, and called God to witness this was not his doing. And such was the end of the case of the city itself. He condemned all his three sons to die with him. This is talking about Simon. This was one in the city. For as to the fourth, he prevented him from running away to Titus before. And when he begged for this, that he might be slain before his sons, and that is a favor, an account that he procured the gates of the city to be opened to him. Now when Judas, the son of Judas, who was one of Simon's under officers and a person entrusted by him to keep out of the towers, saw the procedure of Simon, and called together 10 of those under him, most faithful. What we see here, he goes on. Trying to find the incident here of the dead bodies, of the starvation that was going on. He says that, let me just mention this, I can't find it at the moment. Some of the citizens of Jerusalem, because of the famine that was going on, they go into this woman's house, and she seems to be well fed. They say, you've got some food somewhere because you look well fed. And they demanded the food. She says, oh, okay. She takes them back and uncovers her infant whom she has killed and has been eating. It says they left in horror. The word spread throughout Jerusalem and got back to the Roman armies. And the Roman soldiers said, we will kill them all for this. So we see that what's interesting is all of this death that was going on. And then Josephus, guess how he phrases it, what's happening to Jerusalem. Also, there was that does not know what the writing of the ancient prophets contain in them. And particularly that oracle which is just now going to be fulfilled upon this miserable city. For they foretold about this city should be taken when somebody shall begin the slaughter of his own countrymen. And are not both the city and the entire temple now full of dead bodies of your countrymen? It is God, therefore. It is God himself who is bringing on this fire to purge that city and temple by means of the Romans and is going to pluck up the city which is full of your pollutions. Josephus speaks of that most evident. He was fully satisfied that God was on the Roman side and made use of them now for the destruction of the Jews, which was certain for the true state of the matter. As the prophet Daniel first, and our Savior himself afterwards has clearly foretold. You know, as the Romans were taking the city, and the city was beginning to be caught on fire, Titus is concerned about the destruction of the sacred place. And here's what it says. For that the Romans would not venture to set the sanctuary on fire, but under the most pressing necessity. Yet did the seditious still more and more contradict them, and while they cast loud and bitter approaches upon these deserters, they also set their engines for throwing of darts and javelins and stones upon the sacred gates of the temple, at distances from one another, insomuch that all the space around within the temple might be compared to a burying ground, so great was the number of dead bodies therein. It might be that the house itself be compared to a citadel. Accordingly, these men rushed upon the holy places in their armor. They were otherwise unapproachable. And that while their hands were yet warm with the blood of their own people, which they had shed, nay, they proceeded to such great transgressions that the very same indignation which Jews would naturally have against Romans, had they been guilty of such abuses against themselves, the Romans now had against the Jews for their impiety regarding to their own religious customs. Nay, indeed, they were none of the Roman soldiers who did not look with a sacred horror upon the holy house and adored it, and wished that the robbers would repent before their miseries became incurable. The Roman soldier says, don't you have any respect for your own temple? Now, Titus was deeply affected with this state of things and reproached John. John was the Jew that was leading the rebellion inside. As if, does that make sense? You're going to have your own civil war inside the city, which is now having famine, and yet the Romans' army surrounding it. It's not the best time to have civil war. Now, Titus was deeply affected with this state of things and reproached John and his party and said to them, have not you, vile wretches that you are, by our permission, put up this partition wall before your sanctuary? Have we not given you leave to kill such as go beyond it that he were a Roman? And what do you do now, you pernicious villains? Why do you trample upon dead bodies in this temple? And why do you pollute this holy house with the blood of foreigners and Jews themselves? I appeal to the gods of my own country and to every god that ever had any respect to this place. For I do not suppose it to be now regarded by any of them. I also appeal to my own army and to those Jews that are now with me, and even to you yourselves, that I do not force you to defile your sanctuary. And if you will put chains, the place whereupon you will fight, no Roman shall either come into your sanctuary or offer any affront to it. Nay, I will endeavor to preserve you and your holy house, whether you will or not. As Josephus explained these things from the month of Caesar, both the robbers and the tyrant thought that these exhortations proceeded from Titus's fear and not from his goodwill to them, and grew insolent upon it. But when Titus saw that these men were neither to be moved by commiseration toward themselves, nor had any concern upon them to have the holy house spared, he proceeded unwillingly to go on again with the war against them. So as this burning, as the Romans are going through the city, then the city's on fire and they're lighting places all over the place. We read, it says, at which time one of the soldiers, without staying for any orders and without any concern or dread upon him, had so great an undertaking, and being hurried on by a certain divine fury, snatched someone out of the materials that were on fire, and being lifted out by another soldier, he set fire to a golden window through which there was a passage to the rooms that were round about the holy house on the north side of it. As the flames went upward, the Jews made a great clamor, such as so mighty an affliction required, and ran together to prevent it. And now they spared not their own lives any longer, nor suffered anything to restrain their force, since that holy house was perishing, for whose sake it was that they kept such guard about it. And now a certain person came running to Titus and told him of this fire as he was resting himself on the tent after the last battle. Whereupon he rose in great haste, and as he was, ran to the holy house in order to have a stop put to the fire. After him followed all his commanders, and after them followed the several legions in great astonishment. So there was a great clamor and tumult raised, as was natural upon the disorderly motion of such great an army. Then did Caesar, both by calling to the soldiers that were fighting with a loud voice and by giving a signal to them by his right hand, ordered them to quench the fire. But they did not hear what he said, though he spoke so loud, having their ears already dimmed by a great noise. Another way, they did not attend to the signal. And it says, toward quenching the fire, they were everywhere slain and everywhere beaten. And as for a great part of the people, they were weak, without arms. They had their throats cut wherever they were caught. Now round about the altar lay dead bodies heaped one upon another, as the steps going up to it ran with great quantity of their blood, which also the dead bodies that were slain above fell down on the altar. While his commanders and saw it with what was in it, which he found to be far superior to what the relations of foreigners contained, and not inferior to what we ourselves boasted of and believed about. But as the flame had not yet reached to its inward parts, but was still consuming the rooms that were around the holy house, Titus, supposing that the fact was that the house itself might be yet saved, he came in haste, endeavoring to persuade the soldiers to quench the fire, and gave orders to the liberalists, to the centurions. Yet were their passions too hard for the regard they had for Caesar. They didn't even care what Caesar said now. They were going to kill the Jews, and they were going to go into that temple. It says, and their dread they had for him who forbade them, as was their hatred of the Jews, and a certain vehement inclination to fight them, was too hard for them also. Moreover, the hope of plunder induced many to go on, and having this opinion that all places wherein were full of money, and as seeing that all around about it was made of gold, and besides, one of those that went into the place prevented Caesar when he ran so hastily out to restrain the soldiers, and threw the fire upon the hinges of the gate in the dark, whereupon the flame burst from within the holy house in itself immediately, when the commanders retired and Caesar with them, and nobody any longer forbade those that were without to set fire. And there was the holy house burnt down without Caesar's approbation. Now, although one would justly lament the destruction of such a work as this, since it was the most admirable of all the works we have seen or heard, for both its curious structure and magnitude, also for the vast wealth bestowed upon it, as well as for the glorious reputation it had for holiness, Yet might such a one comfort himself with this thought, that it was fate that decreed it so to be. And at the accuracy of this period, for the same month and to draw now observed, I said before, whereupon the holy house was burnt formerly by the Babylonians. Now the number of years that passed from its first foundation, which was laid by King Solomon, till this destruction, which happened in the second year of the reign of Vespasian, and collected to be 1,130, besides 7 months and 15 days. So the house, they can't stop the sanctuary being burnt down. And if it doesn't get any worse, and now the Romans upon the flight, the seditious into the city, and upon the burning of the holy house itself, and all the buildings lying around it, brought their incense to the temple, and set them over against the eastern gate, and there did they sacrifice to them, and there did they make Titus emperor with the greatest acclamation of joy. They set their gods, their eagles, their symbols of dominion in the temple and joyously said, Titus has conquered the abomination of desolations to the utmost. How devastating was the fall. Well, Josephus says they actually counted the bodies. I can imagine doing that. Now, the number of those that were carried captive during the whole war was collected to be 97,000, as was the number of those that perished during the whole siege, 1.1 million. The greater part of whom were indeed of the same nation with the citizens of Jerusalem, but not belonging to the city itself. For they were come up from all the country to the feast of unleavened bread, and were on a sudden shut up by an army which among them. And then finally Josephus says, now this vast multitude is indeed collected out of the remote places, but the entire nation was now shut up by fate as in a prison, and the Roman army encompassed the city when it was crowded with inhabitants. Accordingly, the multitude of those that therein perished exceeded all the destructions that either men or God ever brought upon the world. For to say only of what was publicly known, the Romans slew some of them. Now the Romans set fire to the extreme parts of the city and burnt them down and entirely demolished all its walls. And thus was Jerusalem taken in the second year of the reign of Vespasian, on the eighth day of the month of Elul. It had been taken 5 times before, though this was the second time of its desolation. The king of Babylon conquered it and made it desolate. 1,468 years, months after it was built. And then it was said, every stone in the city was laid low. The Romans put dirt over the city and sowed salt on it. Jerusalem was gone. Jesus said, this generation has filled up the guilt of all their fathers. And you, when the Father sent the slaves, the prophets, you killed them. And when he sent them the Son, you killed the Son. And when a murderer was offered to you, you chose the murderer instead of Jesus and said, oh, when Pilate says your blood is on you, they said, oh, we'll take his blood on us and our children. And so, 1.1 million perished. And the era of national Israel was gone. Nothing like anything like this has ever happened upon one people, as Josephus said. In one place, so many people dying under such circumstances. Jesus said there will be a tribulation of such magnitude. And you remember when he was being carried to, was taken to the cross, and the women weeping. Don't weep for me, women. Weep for yourselves and your children. For it, the desolation is coming. And so it came. Are there any questions?